We are yours and yours alone. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that that love, O God, is bringing forth, O God, a newness within us, Father. You are changing us. And we thank you, Father, for the change that we see in our heart, the change that we see, O God, in our mind, in all that we do, Father, in word and in deed. And we know, O God, that these changes, O God, are being brought about, O Lord, by your love for us, Father. That love, O God, that you are making alive to us meaningfully, Father, as we discover the heart of Jesus, Father, as he comes alive in us, O God, by his Spirit, Father. We bless you and thank you that your love, O God, is the treasure of our lives, Father. And in that treasure, O God, we are being changed, Father. In that treasure, O God, we are being brought forth, O God, in a newness that is entirely of you, Father. We pray, O God, that at this time, O God, you will open your word into our hearts, enabling us to receive of your fullness, Father, the fullness that you have unveiled to us in your Son, the fullness that you have given to us in him, O Lord. And we thank you, O God, that in all that you have given us, Father, you mean to make, O Lord, all that is of him, O Lord, alive from within us by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we commit this time into your hands, Lord. And we pray, O God, that you will write the word into us, O God. Bring alive within us that witness, O God. That as we come to realize, O God, all that you have given us, Father, that we will come to realize, Father, that you have indeed blessed us awesomely, Father. You have blessed us awesomely, Father. And this is a creative work that you are bringing forth within us, Father. We want to bless you and thank you that we are coming forth in newness of life, in the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see it being unveiled, Father. And we bless you, Holy Spirit, for indeed persevering with us, O God. For indeed teaching us, O God. For indeed being with us all of the time, O Lord. Father, we pray that we will indeed come alive to you, Father. That everything that is within us, O God, will worship you, Father. That there will indeed be a conviction, O God, that we can walk, O God, in the power and excellence of the Lord our God. That as we worship you, Father, we know, O God, that you will indeed, O God, express, O God, your presence within us, O God. You will indeed lead us. You will indeed teach us. You will indeed show us, O God, the way, the truth, and the life. And we bless you that all this you have given us by your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the inward witness again. And we want to talk about the inward spiritual senses that God is building into us. The witnesses of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. The witness is a witness that God brings into us, not only in terms of thoughts and words, but also in terms of our spiritual senses. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It's very interesting here. Oftentimes we think that our spiritual senses consist merely of feelings and discernments. But there is something that is being brought forth here that we must understand. It says that it is by the word of righteousness that our spiritual senses are laid. Solid food is for the mature. The mature are able to receive the word of righteousness. The Greek word for word there is logos. Logos. The logos of righteousness is not simply a set of concepts or a set of ideas. It actually comes forth in building your inward spiritual senses. Now, how is that so? How can that be? How does that come about? Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What are we talking about? It is saying here that the word of God, when it comes alive in us in righteousness, actually builds our spiritual senses. How can that be? Where does this revelation come from? Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 28. The book of Exodus, chapter 28. We are going to talk about the priesthood. And I just want to introduce the subject of who we are in the Lord, verse 2. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me, that he may minister as priest to me. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastpiece and an ephod and a robe and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister as priests to me. Very interesting here. It says, talks about garments, and it says that these garments consecrate the priests so that they can minister to God. Now these garments are actually garments of salvation. You find that in the book of Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 40, 41 and 42. Solomon is praying during the consecration of the temple. And this is his prayer, the one part of it. Now, O my God, I pray thee, let thine eyes be opened and thy ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might. Let thy priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation, and let thy godly ones rejoice in what is good. All right? So the clothing that we have are the clothing of salvation. We are a priesthood simply because we are a temple. And the temple of our being is operated in a priesthood. So we are priests. And the priesthood is clothed with salvation. But that salvation consecrates us so that we can minister as priests to God. A priesthood of believers. A priesthood that blesses God. Now part of that priesthood was something that there were, part of that priesthood were the different parts of the clothing. We're not going to do the different parts of the clothing. But what I want to look at is verse 29 and verse 30. And Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Very interesting. God's name is a memorial name. And the high priest, the priest had something called a breastpiece of judgment. The breastpiece of judgment was over his heart. And he had to carry that when he enters the holy place, because it was a memorial before the Lord continually. The memorial was a memorial of the names of the sons of Israel. And you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. All right. So I just want to tell you that the word of righteousness that we just talked about is the word of righteousness that is equivalent to the Urim and the Thummim. And it's built into us in something called a breastpiece of righteousness that is part of the clothing of our salvation. And it involves our inward spiritual senses. Our inward spiritual senses are laid forth by the word, and they enable us to judge things, right? We just read that our inward spiritual senses enable us to discern good and evil. Here it talks about judgment, right? Discernment, judgment, right? The word of God is meant to bring forth that discernment and that judgment in our inward man, right? If you look at Urim and Thummim, scholars tell us, if you have your Bible will probably have a footnote to the Urim and the Thummim, and you will find those words, lights and perfections, mentioned there. Lights and perfections. That the Urim and the Thummim were really speaking of lights and perfections. What does it really mean?
The Urim and Thummim represented what God manifests into us in terms of an enlightened state, the light, the perfections. That means as He leads us through life, He perfects that light into us as a radiance within us. Let me put it another way. All right, let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. The morning star arises in your hearts. The morning star talks about the prophetic word revealed within us. And it's a prophetic word that brings forth enlightenment within us. It enables our inward man to see things and sense things in a deep way within us. There are two kinds of word that we must understand. The first kind of word is the word that comes by reasoning. We find that in 1 Peter. Chapter 2. From verses 1 to 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. That's the first part of the word. All right? The pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Okay? If you're looking at the Greek word under there, it's the Greek word logikon. All right? For the word there. And what it represents is the pure milk of the word that comes through reasoning, all right? That's how we all receive the word of God, because we are taught to reason, okay? The word of righteousness comes above that, all right? We talked about the milk when we read that verse in Hebrews, okay? That pure milk of the word, there's nothing wrong with it. It is the basis of reasoning, the reasoning that we normally have. But beyond reasoning, there are the realm of our spiritual senses. All right, the spiritual senses that are meant to open to us discernment. How do we know truth? How do we understand truth? We come to understand truth through the deeper realms of the word that is beyond reasoning. It involves a sensory realm of the word. All right, although it is the word and it's laid into you by words, it brings into you something that is of the light of the Lord your God. The light of the, that is called the morning star. It comes alive in you as light. That light is enlightenment. It represents a radiance within you. In that radiance of light, right? In that radiance of light, there come forth spiritual senses within you. Spiritual senses that are able to confirm within you what God wants you to do. Spiritual senses that give you, for instance, a confirmation that God wants you to do this. One type of spiritual sense is peace. Another type of spiritual senses is a quickening, a racing, anticipation of receiving revelation. Another type of spiritual sense would be the conviction, right? Conviction, right? Conviction that God is speaking with you. Conviction that you are in God's presence, all right? Conviction that you are in danger, for instance, all right? A warning. All these things are built into you. It is built by the word. As the word is written into you, these spiritual senses will automatically come alive in you, because you have an inward witness, and that inward witness does not just function in terms of ideas and thoughts. It functions also in terms of the discernment of your spiritual senses. Those inward spiritual senses that enable you to discern what is happening. Right? If you look at the old priesthood, they had an Urim and a Thummim. And they consulted a Urim and the Thummim whenever they wanted to find direction from God. All right? It was done symbolically. All right? We really don't know what the Urim and the Thummim represented. Right? But scholars give us an idea that it was lights and perfections. All right? And if you look at the at the New Testament, you will find that God is concerned always with bringing forth light within us, that enlightenment, right? That enlightenment. We saw one picture of it as the morning star. The morning star is the light and brightness of Jesus arising within us, all right? That prophetic word that he brings in, because he is the bright morning star. There's another picture of that. You find that in the book of Malachi, all right? Malachi chapter 4. Verse 2. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Now the idea there is joy. All right, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is an inward spiritual sense. You either have joy or you don't have joy. All right, so that is an inward spiritual sense, right? The joy of the Lord. It represents the Sun of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. All right? It's a reality in the Word of God that is open to you like light shining, right? Like the sun shining. And it opens to you so that it brings into you a joy. It's built into you and you feel that joy and you can sense that joy and you begin to discern that God, something is happening inside of you. It is beyond the realm of reason in the sense that oftentimes you can't understand why you are joyful, but you are joyful. You have that joy in the Lord. You have that peace in the Lord. You have that conviction in the Lord. You have that confidence in the Lord. You may not understand the situations and circumstances of your life or the position that you are in, but you have these inward spiritual senses that confirm something to you. Sometimes it comes as an evidence of truth with understanding. At other times it comes forth as a strong peace, at a peace that you cannot explain, but you have that peace within you that tells you that God is in charge, that God is the rock of your life, that he is, right, alive in your life, and you have that. But all of those realities are built into you by the Word, and this is what we must understand. It is not just built into you by hearsay or feelings, all right? They're not just airy-fairy feelings. They are built in you according to the Word. And this is why the Word of God is very important, because the Word of God automatically starts fashioning your inward spiritual senses. All right. As the Word of God is built into your life, as the Word of God comes alive with reason in your life, there is more to it than just an understanding of the intellect or an understanding that is a construct of words or a construct of knowledge. There is something beyond that. And that involves your spiritual senses. Now, why are spiritual senses important? Spiritual senses bridge the infinitude of God and your state of spiritual growth. For instance, through the pure milk of the Word, you come to a level of understanding, right? There's nothing wrong with the pure milk of Word. In fact, the pure milk of the Word is very, very important, right? You have a certain reasoning in the Word and a certain level of understanding, right? But there is an infinite difference between your level and my level of understanding and the level of understanding that of God's knowledge, right? God knows all things. So how does God bridge the infinitude that is between his understanding and our level of understanding? He does that through our inward spiritual senses, right? He does that through our inward spiritual senses. And those inward spiritual senses are very important because they are, when alive in the Spirit of God, right? A great way in which you can discern many things, right? And walk confidently into things, knowing that because that inward spiritual sense is alive in you, that God has his hand on you. You may not understand how something will turn out, but you can walk into it confidently because you know that there is a peace that passeth all understanding alive in your heart. There is a joy that tells you that God is going to carry you. That joy is the strength of the Lord alive in you. Are you with me? There is a feeling of confidence, right? A confidence, right? A confidence that is just built into you, and you know that God is going to take you through this situation. You don't have an answer of how that is going to happen, but you know that he will take you through that situation. Right? This is when we start entering into a reality where we start doing things beyond ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? Right? We can all do things according to the understanding and the knowledge and the talents that we have. That is a level, that is a human level. But God wants us to function beyond that level of who we are in ourselves. God wants us to function in a level where He comes forth and He expresses Himself. The problem with that is when God expresses Himself, almost all of the time you don't know what is happening, right? Because when God expresses Himself, He is walking in a level and an understanding and in an all-knowing sense that is far beyond you. You understand what I'm saying? So God bridges that, the great purpose that He has for your life, right? By giving you these inward spiritual senses that enable you to discern, to know, and to understand. All right? Are you with me? To understand in a sensory way rather than in a logical way. You understand what I'm saying? God confirms something with you from a sensory point of view, right? I am with you. And that confidence you cannot explain. Everything seems to be new to your life, and yet you have this amazing confidence that God is with you, and you can't explain it. All you can know is that your inward spiritual senses tell you that you are okay. And there are other times when your inward spiritual senses are all in turmoil, and then you know that there is something that is happening in your life, right? That is chaotic. You may have entered into something that is not of God, and that's when you need to pray, right? You need to pray to find out what it is that God wants to bring forth in you. All right? Okay? You need to understand whether there is something that is going haywire in your life, or you have accidentally wandered into something, or there is something that is cooking that is going to afflict your life. Right? So these inward spiritual senses are something that God has built into us, and He wants us always to be alive to it. Right? Unlike the priesthood of old, who consulted the Urim and the Thummim, the fulfillment of the Urim and the Thummim within us is an online reality. That means it is being continuously built. Right? God is continuously building into us, right? A realization and an understanding of our inward spiritual senses that is entirely built on the Word. As the Word is received in our hearts, as the Word is built in us in truth, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, our inward spiritual senses are purified and sanctified. All right? Let's look at these inward realms. All right? We're going to look at some verses and we will see what the Holy Spirit opens up for us. Let us start with the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Verse 6 and verse 7. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Celebrate the feast. What is the feast? This is the feast of the Passover, right? What is the Passover? The Passover takes you into the Mount of the Lord. Are you with me? On the Mount of the Lord it will be seen. On the Mount of the Lord it will be given. And this Passover is built into you in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Can you catch that? Right? It is very important that you understand that your inward spiritual senses are built on the Word, and the Word must always be built into you in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is, you cannot do your own thing, right? You must sincerely seek that which God wants to bring forth. Alright? So it says, throw out the leaven of malice and wickedness. What is malice and wickedness? Right? Jealousy. Wickedness is something that seeks our own domination, right? Seeks our own hidden agendas, our own hidden purposes, right? Those things have to go. But the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth must be the inward medium in which God establishes this Passover. Let me show you another verse. It is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. If you read the Old Testament, you will find that the feast of the Passover and the feast of the unleavened bread were two separate feasts. But here, the Holy Spirit makes a very strange statement through Luke. He says that the feast of the unleavened bread is the Passover. Are you with me? This tells you that the Passover opens according to the inward reality of sincerity and truth. Are you with me? We must always have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth when we stand before God. This is very important to building the inward witness. If you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble. Alright? Because then you will have an inward witness that is deliberately corrupt. Alright? So you can't have that. So the Passover, right? A Passover in which your spiritual senses start functioning, right? Your spiritual senses start functioning, right? Comes to you in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is very important because, right? Because you can see, God can talk to you through visions. God can also talk to you through the construct of the word, right? But your spiritual senses tell you whether what you are receiving, whether it's of God or it's not of God. All right? Your inward spiritual senses have to be always alive to God in sincerity and truth. Right? Sincerity and truth are sensory attributes of your inward man. Right? They are not logical attributes of your inward man. They are sensory attributes of your inward man. Sincerity, I want to be truthful before God. To the best of your abilities at where you are, you want to be sincere before God. That is a spiritual sensory attribute. Right? Being sincere is a spiritual attribute. Not many people really want to be sincere. Right? Are you with me? Right? But as a Christian, if you really want to grow, right, beyond the milk of the word, right, and walk into this realm that is built in the word of righteousness, that is enables you to operate in your spiritual senses, you need to understand it is not green lights or red lights or yellow lights that enable you to walk whichever direction. It is sincerity and truth. Are you with me? If you're not sincere and truthful before God, it doesn't matter what light you see, you're going to go out. All right? Because your inward spiritual senses are not standing right before God. Are you with me? When you are sincere and truthful before God, God carries you. Are you with me? God makes up for your weaknesses. God guides you in truth. Right? Because God does not tell you to come before Him sinless, but He always wants you to come before Him in sincerity and truth. You must always remember that. All right? The sinfulness He will handle through the blood of Jesus. But sincerity and truth is your response to God. God has saved you. What is your response? At the level at which you are, you must always be sincere and truthful to God. Once we start deliberately trying to lie to God, we are entering into something that is very, very dangerous territory. Right? So if someone has that kind of an attitude, this kind of teaching is not for him. All right? Are you with me? All right? Because you will be led into all kinds of funny things. All right? So this kind of teaching is only open to those who are willing to walk in sincerity and truth before God. All right? And we need to understand sincerity and truthfulness as being realities in which we approach Jesus. All right? The realities in which we live our life, the realities in which we do our ministries, the reality in which we conduct our businesses. Right? What are your intentions before God? And you have to really examine those intentions before God and be very careful to make sure that they are sincere and truthful. Otherwise, your inward spiritual senses will go haywire. Are you with me? If you are sincere and truthful before God, then the word of righteousness that has been built to you at whatever level it is will enable you to discern right and wrong. It will enable you to understand peace. It will enable you to understand joy. It will also enable you to understand compassion. Right? All these things will be built into you. All right? So it is very important to understand that the framework to your inward spiritual senses is sincerity and truthfulness before God. Okay? Then this Passover takes place. Now this Passover is built on the righteousness of God. Correct? But we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now this Passover is built, right? In the witness of all that Jesus has done for us, right? This Passover enables you to see, to know, to enter into things that are built into that Passover, okay? It is a Passover that is built according to a name. That name is Jehovah Jireh, correct? Can you catch that? I am who I am your provider. Okay, so you must be sincere and truthful in the understanding that God is your provider. You must be sincere and truthful that you are walking into a reality where God is your provider. Now, God is your provider does not simply mean that He's going to give you a new Mercedes-Benz and He's going to give you a bigger house. All those things can exist. All right, God can certainly provide you those things. But God's provision is expressed in seven covenant names. All right, God's provision comes to us as the shepherd who leads us. Are you with me? So your inward spiritual senses, right? The shepherd leads you, and he leads you by giving you peace, or he warns you of danger, or he corrects you. All right, and you understand that God is giving you a caning. Sometimes your inward spiritual senses reveal to you that God is correcting you. All right, all that is part and parcel of this growing up process. But in all of it, you need to be sincere and truthful so that when you get a caning, you know you are getting a caning. Some people don't even know that. And the reason why they don't know that is because they're not sincere and truthful before God. Right? We cannot manipulate God. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we think we can manipulate God. You cannot manipulate God. Right? He will always be God. So God the shepherd is the stone upon which our lives is built, right? You remember that verse in Genesis chapter 49 where the shepherd is called the stone of Israel, right? When Jacob blesses Joseph, he calls God the shepherd the stone of Israel, right? So your inward spiritual senses have to be built on a rock, all right? That rock is the shepherd. Are you with me? The rock is the shepherd. What is that rock? The confidence that God builds into you, right? That confidence level that God is building into you. That confidence level, right? That is in your witness, okay? Right? It tells you that you are standing. You're standing on the reality of God's name. You are actually functioning by Him. That although you may not understand where God is actually taking you, you know that you are standing, and that standing is a rock in your witness. You know God is in charge. You know that God has called you. You know that God has given you this business, or God has given you this ministry, or God has given you this life, and God has given you this family. God has given you a wife. God has given you, you know, a lot of things, right? I mean, God's provision covers every facet of our life. And that confidence is just built into us, right? As a stone, as living stone, okay? As a rock, all right? Catch it? That is one form of God's provision. He gives you a platform on which you can live. Are you with me? He gives you a platform on which you can live. Now, that platform is a construct of the word. Sometimes you can understand it. But you always need to understand that with God, nothing ever ends. Everything becomes a new beginning. You understand what I'm saying? In God, nothing ever ends. It always becomes something that is growing into something else. So in God, life is a continual growth process. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't bring you to a limit. There are no limits in God. God wants you to discover Him, and God wants you to express Him in your life. That is your calling. Are you with me? You are a temple of God. Right? In that temple, God expresses His excellence. Right? That's the whole idea of I am who I am your provider. What is God providing you in? He's providing you in His name. Right? By His name, through His name, He is providing you. Right? Can you catch that? And that provision is a mountain. Right? It is a mountain of reality that is in the name of God. It is called a Passover. Can you catch that? Right? And one of the realities of the Passover is that God is the shepherd. And the shepherd leads you, right, in a reality in which He is the rock. That rock has a name. It's called Ebenezer. Ebenezer, the stone of Israel. All right? Thus far has the Lord helped me. Right? We read that before. It comes from the book of Samuel. That after the Israelites had won a victory over the Philistines, right, Samuel takes a stone and puts it there and he says, Ebenezer, thus far has God helped us, right? Thus far has God brought us. Are you with me? At that level, in your inward spiritual man, God has built a confidence level into you. Can you catch that? Every one of us has that. All right? It is being built because God must be the stone of Israel in your life. Right? God striving with you is to build that confidence level in His name. If you don't have confidence in His name, you cannot do anything through Him. You can't do anything in Him. Right? So God builds that inward spiritual confidence into your life so that you know that whatever is happening in your life, and it's far beyond your understanding, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made according to whatever God has in His plan, in His heart for you. Right? But you have a confidence, and God gives you that confidence that He is leading you and He is guiding you, and He will never let you fall. Okay? That's the first picture you need to understand. The second picture is the healer, right? I am who I am. I am your healer. Yahweh Rophe or Yahweh. I think there is another one. I forget the other version of that, but whatever it is I am who I am. I am your healer. God heals us. And the healing also involves your inward spiritual senses. How does God heal you? He makes you a more sincere and a more truthful person. Right? He removes the darkness, all the crookedness, all the cunningness, all the pride. All of us have got all of these things, right? In whatever cocktail mix it is in, right? All of us have our fair share of it, right? We have done a great job receiving all the wrong things. So God has to work out of us all of those evil things. So the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. Can you catch that? Right? The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. And the Son of Righteousness is the morning star. Right? The morning star is the inheritance that God wants to bring you. When God took Abraham out and He said, look at the stars. Right? He was talking about bringing forth sons who would shine in His righteousness. Can you catch that? Alright? So the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. That means the morning star cannot manifest unless our nature changes. So we have a sick nature. And that sick nature has to change. We have learned how to do things all the wrong way around. We have learned how to do things all based on ourselves. Now God reverses that process. And He's teaching this, right? And as He teaches us, you will find that as you grow in the Lord, He expects you to trust Him more and more. You will find that you will decrease and God will increase. Which means that as you grow in the Lord, there may be more and more things that you don't understand. There are more and more things that God expects you to walk into by trust. By simply giving you that assurance of confidence inside of you, that assurance of peace, and saying, I'm with you. Go, and I will do all things. Remember what He told to Moses? Go into Egypt and bring those people out, right? I am with you. That's all you need, right? He was an old man, 80 years old, and God said, go into Egypt as if it was his grandfather's house. And go in there and bring out 2 million plus people. Right? Just like that. There was also Gideon, right? Yahweh Shalom, that He revealed that name to Gideon. Right? And He revealed that name to Gideon by telling, I will beat the Amorites, or the Amalek, what? Amorites, I think. Or whatever those guys were. Right? As one man. Alright? As one man, I will defeat them. Okay? You just go, and I will do everything. Right? So Gideon had to walk. He had to walk in the reality that God was his peace, and that's all he had. Everything else God worked around. So that's one of the covenant names of God. He gives us that peace. Alright? So that healing that God brings into us enables us to walk into righteousness. Are you with me? Righteousness must be the witness in our lives. And righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus alive in us. As we receive the testimony of Jesus, a faith of Jesus is being built into us. And our faith is being built. Are you with me? And that is righteousness before God, because we have now received what God has revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you catch the picture? And in that process, God is healing us. How is He healing us? He's getting away all the wrong things that we have learned. Right? He's getting out of our system all the wrong things that we have learned. How have we learned? We have learned how to depend on ourselves. We have said, I am who I am that I am. And God is saying, you are none of those things. Right? He's going to change it upside down. He's saying, I am who I am and I am that I am. And you just walk by what I tell you. Right? But I will give you that assurance. I will give you that confidence. I will build that platform for your life. And I will raise you from glory to glory. because I have called you to be my son. And I have called you to be my son, my temple in whom I will put my name. So you need to understand that because I have chosen to put my name into your being, right? I will have to raise you according to my status, not according to your status. Catch it? Right? That's why God provides us according to his name. And he does not just simply give us a nice new toothbrush or something like that. Right? There's something far more than what God is building into you. God wants to build you in his name so that you can walk into every area of your life by his name. And if you look at your life in whichever area it is, whether it's in your marriage and how you bring up your children, how you relate to your relatives, or how you work in church, or how you do your ministry, or how you carry out your profession or your business, it is the same process. God wants to teach you who he is. God wants to build into you a process of living where he becomes your life. Where he becomes the true vine and you are the branch that draws everything from him. Can you catch the picture? Now, in order to do that, God has to heal us because we don't have that kind of a understanding. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And the process involves a healing because we've got all the wrong kind of thoughts and ideas inside of us. Right? We actually think that we can do things. Right? And we keep doing it over and over again until we reach a certain age when it's all taken away, and then we realize that we didn't do a very great job. After 40 years of struggling and hard work, it suddenly disappeared right before our eyes. And then God brings into us the reality that you cannot live by yourself. And sometimes in life, we have to learn that the hard way. Right? Otherwise, we will never get it into our heads. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Some of us are very intelligent, some of us are not so intelligent, some of us are very talented, others are not so talented. But in whether we are talented or untalented, or whether we are dumb or whether we are smart, we all think we can do our own thing. And we all have to learn the lesson that when you do things your own way, one day it's all going to disappear. And when it disappears, there will be nothing left. Right? And that's the tragedy of mankind. But sometimes you look back and you say, why does God allow the tragedy to teach man that simple lesson that he cannot live by himself? Because if man does not understand that simple thing, nothing else God can teach him. Catch it? So that healing process, right, changes the way we do all things. Changes the way we think, changes the way we act, changes the way we learn, changes the way we do everything. All right? So that is a healing process. Okay? So that healing process comes alive in your inward spiritual senses. All right? God has to heal, God has to cleanse, God has to sanctify, God has to build, God has to reconstruct, God has to break down. Sometimes he has to chop up. Right? But whatever it is a necessary process, and we all have to go through it. Right? It cannot magically disappear. Some people think it will magically disappear. No. It has to be unlearned. We have to learn new things and discard the old things, and that process is a healing process. Right? So in that process, God is a healer. Okay? The next name that God brings into us is the name of his victory. He is the banner. All right? And that's the covering, the overshadowing of God. The overshadowing of God. The banner that God spreads over your life. And he wants you to understand that that banner is over your life. All right? And that banner of the Lord over your life is a banner of victory. Right? And the banner of victory is built into your life as God takes you from one challenge to another. Sometimes God takes us through defeat to teach us what victory is. God takes us through hardship to try and put us right so that we will be strong enough to walk into a victory. And when we walk into a victory, we will be like Abraham. You remember Abraham went for a battle against Chedorlaomer? And the kings were with him, and he came back victorious. And the king of Salem comes and he tells him some great stuff about, was it the king of Salem? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, one of the kings comes around and says, you know, let me give this to you. And and Abraham refuses to accept anything from him. See, Abraham says, everything I have this victory is all by the favor of God. It is not from man. It is not from me. It has come from God. I have found favor from God, and on that basis I have achieved this victory. Are you with me? He refuses to accept anything from another man. He waits. He wants to give the total glory to God. You can see this in the book of Genesis chapter 14. All right, let's look at verse 21. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." Are you with me? See, Abraham only wants to proclaim the fact that God has made him rich. God has blessed him. Are you with me? So he refuses to accept something, right, from the king of Sodom. Can you catch that picture? What you need to catch at this point is that God wants us to understand that victory in our lives is built in his favor, right? We uphold the name of the Lord and the victory comes in our life. It may come through hardship sometimes over several years, but the process of hardship is necessary because God in that hardship is changing your nature. He is changing your focus. He is changing your dependence. Sometimes hardship makes us cling to God, while easy ways makes us cling to ourselves and to our talents and to our anointings and to our abilities. All right? Just like when I started this message, I was wondering what I was going to preach because I was starting somewhere that I have never preached before. All right, and as I was preaching, I was wondering where on earth is all this going to, because I didn't know where God wanted me to go to. All right, so we are still finding out where God is taking us, right? So, because none of this is prepared. All right, it is just coming forth, right? And God is just telling us how he builds our inward man. Okay, your inward man is a living witness that stands before God. Sincerity and truth defines that witness. There are different levels of sincerity and truth, and there are also different depths and fullness measures of sincerity and truth. That's why Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And sincerity and truth is the unleavened bread. Are you with me? So sincerity and truth comes out of Jesus alive in each one of us. Are you with me? And Jesus is, "I am unveiled." As you see God more and more, you become more and more sincere towards God because you recognize him for who he is. Here you see Abraham and you understand why God blessed this man, because Abraham was so convinced about God's greatness. Although he stumbled later on and although he was a weak man in some ways, right? Yet he had this basic sincerity about him. Right? He stumbled and he fell, but he had this basic sincerity about him, about God. That's why he could take a sacrifice of his own son and give it before God, because he trusted God. Right? No matter what his weaknesses were, God was not interested in his weaknesses. God admired this guy because he was sincere before him. Right? The hallmark of his life was the fact that he could take God at face value. Right? If God said this, he would do it. And Abraham was willing to walk into it. Right? He walks out of his land and he walks into a famine. Right? If you read scripture. Right? Yet he does not turn around and go back to his family. He just continues because, right? He just goes into the desert and he builds an altar to the Lord. Are you with me? He goes into a different land and he builds an altar to the Lord. Are you with me? Okay? He wins this victory and he gives the glory to God. He refuses to accept the favor of man. Right? He wants the victory to belong to God. Are you with me? So we got to catch the picture. Right? Yahweh Nisi is the Lord God who gives us victory. Right? I am who I am. I am the banner over your life. I am the victory. Right? And God says in that passage in the book of Exodus that he has sworn an oath to battle against Amalek. Amalek comes in inflation, depression, right? Spiritual warfare, whatever you want to call it, right? The afflictions that come into our, that afflict our nature, our human person. All that is Amalek, right? All that is Satan trying to destroy you, trying to stop you from receiving your inheritance in God. But through that process, God wants us to understand that as long as we uphold, right, that staff of the word of righteousness within us, are you with me? In sincerity and truth, He will never let us down. The next name that we find in the Bible is Sanctifier, right? I am who I am your Sanctifier, Yahweh Mukadesh. God sanctifies your inward man, right? That sanctification is a sanctification that comes to us as a rest. God builds a rest. Your inward man can rest in God. Your inward man can stop striving and can rest in God. That is the Sabbath. We're doing many, many teachings, all right? We're doing many subsets of teachings in this, but you need to catch a picture of your inward spiritual man, right? You are the temple of God, and the temple of God celebrates the Sabbath as a perpetuity, as a growing rest in God, all right? That growing rest is alive inside of you, and it's growing. Every day, God wants you to grow in that rest. In that rest, God has accomplished all things, and we are receiving it and realizing it as we walk into it. But our inward man is fully alive to the fact that we are in God and of God. All right? Can you catch that? And that is the reality of being sanctified. Sanctified means being made holy, being made, what shall I say? Fully dependent on God, so that you know that He is all in all, that He is everything. That sanctification changes you and transforms your whole thinking process. All right? Can you catch that? God builds sanctification into our lives in two prophetic names. You find that in the book of Hebrews, Joshua and David. Joshua is Yahweh saves. David is the beloved. Let me show you in Hebrews, all right? Hebrews chapter 4. All right, let's look at verse 1 and 2 first for context. Therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So we must hear what God is telling us, and God is telling us many things in our life. Right? He's telling us through the word, and he's also applying that word into your life according to the calling that he has on your life. He has a purpose in your life, and that purpose is to be built in a rest. It is not to be built with striving. It is built to be built with a rest. Okay? Okay. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Why is the name of David coming there? Because David is a prophetic name. David means well beloved. How do you rest in God? By loving him. By realizing the love of God in your heart. When Jesus becomes to you the beloved, you can now trust God. You understand what I'm saying? And in that love for God and in that trust in your beloved, you rest in God. Can you catch that? And it is today. It's always happening today, right now. Are you with me? Okay? That place is always there today. It's always being built in a continuity. All right? All right. The next part of the verse says, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now he produces another name. If you look at the sentence structure, it does not make any sense, right? If Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. If you go back to the scripture and try to find meaning for that, you can spend many hours looking for it. It's not there, all right? The meaning is in the name Joshua. Joshua is the name of Jesus in the Hebrew language, all right, which means Yahweh saves, all right. So this rest is part of God's salvation, and salvation comes out of the name of Jesus Christ, Are you with me? Salvation comes out of the name of Jesus. Therefore, this rest must be built in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, it is a cook-up. Are you with me? In Eastern meditation, you have all kinds of pseudo-false ways of trying to build peace and rest in yourself, depending on yourself. That's not what we are talking about. That's why it has to be built on Jesus. It is on Jesus. It is Jesus who gives you that rest. All right? And that rest is Yahweh Mukadesh, all right? The Lord God who sanctifies you. And that rest is a sanctification. And in that sanctification, God opens your inward spiritual man to rest in the Lord. Okay? The next covenant name of God is Yahweh Shalom, peace. Let me show you what peace is like, right? Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, and but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Covenant of peace. When God gives you peace, it is a covenant, all right? Blood covenant, right? Jesus, before he went to the cross, he says, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth do I give unto you. That peace comes from the blood. Right? That peace your inward man receives as a witness. All right? That peace is a very, very valuable indicator from God. He's telling you something, that his covenant is over your life. Right? That means he is the senior partner in your life, and he's carrying you through, and he proves that he is carrying you through by that peace that he gives you. And that peace is not something that comes today and goes tomorrow. It is a peace that indicates the level at which you're resting at him. Are you with me? That peace can be a strength as well. It can also be a peace with confidence, a peace with joy, a peace with love, right? Have you ever felt a peace where God loves you, right? That's an amazing peace, right? So all of these are a covenant of peace. And he's telling you that although the mountains may shake, my covenant of peace is with you. All right? So when we start working and doing things in God, carrying out things in God, sometimes the only way we can discern things is by that peace that God supernaturally gives us. That although many things may be going around, haywire around us, sometimes our physical body starts creaking, right? But inside there is a peace, right? What is that peace? You watch the peace, not the creaking body. Are you with me? If you watch the creaking body, then you will bring the creaking inside of your inward man. Are you with me? But if you watch the peace, right, you will find the strength that can heal you even in your mortal flesh. Are you with me? That's something we need to discover, right? Okay, the next part is righteousness, right? Yahweh Sitkenu. I am who I am your righteousness. That is the faith of Jesus Christ that God is building into you. The testimony of Jesus is how your witness is built in sincerity and truth. The more of Jesus inside of you, the more truthful and more sincere you become. The testimony of Jesus is everything in Scripture understood in the life of Jesus. Everything in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation understood through Jesus' life. That's the testimony of Jesus. If you can learn this wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge form that comes through that, you will really blossom in the excellence of Jesus Christ. You will literally see yourself soaring, because God will start opening to you an understanding of all kinds of things, right? You need to see Jesus, and that's the key. If you cannot see Jesus and you're only seeing a principle, you're missing something, right? That means the principle is explained in Jesus Christ. Through the principle, Jesus must come alive in you. Otherwise, there's something missing. Are you with me? So righteousness comes out of Jesus growing in you. And your inward man, built in the word of righteousness, must be built in the testimony of Jesus. Can you catch that? All right. Again, it is built, right? Are you with me? In a steadfastness that is of the faith of Jesus Christ. That means, right? You cannot explain it. It is not just your faith in God, it is the faith of God alive in you. And you receive that as a confidence in God. And you know that God will carry you through. You know you will go from one step to the other step. You may not understand how that is happening, but you know in time it will happen. And when it happens, God has accomplished a great work. And God wants to build that testimony into us that He is our life. That is Yahweh Sidkenu, right? Finally, the next provision of God is Yahweh Shammah, I am there. That is the presence of God. Your inward spiritual senses can be alive to the presence of God all of the time. Yahweh Shammah, right? So your inward spiritual senses can understand the presence and reality of God at any time. Right? It's a consciousness of God. It's a consciousness of His reality. It is a consciousness of I am. And it's there all the time, whether you are walking out on the street or not, because you are always a sanctuary alive to God. When you learn how to rest in God, that sanctuary, that reality of being, right, a sanctuary of God's presence is something alive to you. So your inward witness is very important. Do you understand? Because your inward witness always brings forth this witness that God is your healer, God is your shepherd, God is your sanctifier, God is your redeemer, God is your strength, God is your shield, right? Everything that scripture says about God, right? Your inward witness must learn how to bear witness to it. That witness is not cooked up, it is received. It is received. It is received through who I am is. Are you with me? So as we partake of Holy Communion, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What is He saying? I am is the bread of life. The more of I am that you feed on and you understand of through scripture, the more you will become stronger. Can you understand that? I am the bread of life is the word of righteousness. Right? Of His fullness we have all received. Can you catch the picture? Of His fullness we have all received. And in that fullness, God is building us. He's constructing us. He is creating us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. Right? Today we have done a very, very wide subject, but we need to catch a vision of what God is building inside of us. We are each very special. And the reality of being special has to be understood from within. The Bible says that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. That is God's witness. God says that in my heart you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We must receive that witness that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How do we understand that? Jesus said, when Jesus comes alive as wonderful, we have begun that journey. When we come to fear God and take delight in the fear of God, that fulfillment is coming forth. Do you understand? As you come to delight more and more in the fear of God, so that you even come to tremble in awe at the word of God, you are entering a realm in which your inward man, right, is going to be literally stand before God. That's why when Elijah comes forth, he says, I am Elijah and I stand before God. You remember that verse? 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. Right? He comes out of nowhere and he says, by my word it will not rain in this nation until I say so. But the witness he carries inside of him says, I stand before God, Yahweh Shammah. Are you with me? That is the fulfillment of Yahweh Shammah. Catch it? Enoch was taken and he said, I found that I was pleasing to God, right? That's what the scripture says, right? The witness within him said that he was pleasing to God, right? What is that pleasing to God? It's a sensory reality within your witness, isn't it? Right? You know that God is pleased with you. Have you ever felt that? Yes. Right? That God is pleased with you. You have done a good job, right? You have remained faithful, right? And you can feel it inside. There are times when you know that God, your Father, is smiling at you. Be alive to your witness. You will be amazed at the kind of relationship you can build with God. Right? Right? There are times when God hugs you. And it's there in your inward spiritual senses. Okay? Your inward spiritual senses can unveil to you the fact that God has just hugged you. And He says, well done, my son. Right? You have been faithful. Right? Are you with me? It's awesome. What God is building in us through the inward witness is amazing. Right? Because you must understand, the inward witness receives of God's own name. There is a witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a witness on earth, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Where does the blood, the water, and the Spirit come from? From inside Jesus Christ. Are you with me? From inside Jesus Christ. From inside Jesus Christ comes everything that God wants to give you. Of His fullness, we have all received. Now, that fullness finds expression inside of us through our inward spiritual senses. Are you with me? Right? And you find that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But many of us don't really understand what that means. Right? For God to fearfully make us, that means He made us in His holiness. Right? Wonderfully, that means in His own image. Right? Wonderfully. Right? So catch it. We are very special. So are our brethren in Christ. Amen? So, blessing the church is very important. That's why Aaron took the names of the sons of God before God. You understand what I'm saying? The memorial was the memorial that was carried with all the tribes of Israel written there. Do you understand what is being said? That if your inward spiritual senses are to grow in the right way, you need to have a burden for the body of Christ. You need to feel responsible for the church. You need to understand, right? That no matter how many flaws there may be in the people of God, we are nonetheless a people who have been redeemed in the merits of the Lamb. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, let's understand that the Passover is for the whole body of Christ. Right? And that Passover is being brought into each one of us in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is building us so that we can stand before God and function by His name all of the time. In everything that we do in word and in deed, we are blessed. Amen. Father, we thank You as we celebrate Holy Communion. At the wonder, O God, of all that You have brought alive to us, Father, in Your greatness. We are very grateful, Father, for all that You are bringing alive to us from within us. As we learn, O God, in a small way, O God, how great and awesome are the spiritual senses that You are building into us. We realize, O God, that this Passover that You are building into us and forming and fashioning into us is an awesome miracle of creation, Father. We are indeed being created. We are indeed being perfected and being completed. Father, as we celebrate Holy Communion, we celebrate it with gratitude in our hearts. Of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And that realization is being built into our inward spiritual senses. And that realization enables us to pass over into a reality that is built entirely in the name of Jesus. A reality that is entirely explained by the testimony of Jesus. And so we are grateful that You have given us this opportunity to celebrate this Holy Communion in the communion of the saints as a body of Christ alive to You, Father. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in Your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake, Holy Father, that we will partake of His fullness, that we will come forth as a new creation fashioned in His witness, Father, to come forth before You as living sons of the living God. We want to bless You and thank You that this miracle that You are undertaking in each one of our lives is a reality in which we are each being fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank You that we are being created in Christ Jesus. And we celebrate this fulfillment in this Holy Communion. We thank You for this opportunity, Father. In Jesus' name, Amen. So as we partake of the bread of life, we need to understand that the bread of life opens to us a Passover. And that Passover carries within it a witness that is in sincerity and truth. So we are grateful.
for all God has given us. Father, we bless you that as we partake of the living bread that came down out of heaven, Father, we see the testimony of Jesus and who he is and all that he did. And we realize, O God, that he saved us with a sincere and truthful heart, Father. And because of that, Father, he was raised from the dead. And because of that, Father, he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Father, as we celebrate the living bread that you have given us, Father, we realize also, Father, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. And this is a privilege that you have given us. Enable us to understand this rest that you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. We celebrate this fulfillment too, in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of the Lamb is life to us, Father. And the blood bears testimony of Jesus' faith and Jesus' love for us, Father. Because he loved us. And by faith he saved us, Father. And that is your righteousness given to us, Father. Your word says that we will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we know, Father, that that is a reality built in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood we belong to you. And so, Father, we celebrate that belonging in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that you have taught us, even as we have come to appreciate in a small way the inward witness and the inward spiritual senses that are part of this witness. Father, we are grateful for the awesomeness of the miracle of life that you are opening to us. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for persevering with us, and we thank you, O God, for showing us the greatness of your provision. In Jesus' name, Amen.